Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, bonus episode for the month of February in the year of 2022. Here we are. It is the second month of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It is the second bonus episode of the month. And once again, I say it is the year 2022. There might be a theme here.
Twos everywhere.
Twos everywhere. It's some sort of pattern. And did we shoehorn this in? I don't know.
If only we were doing the seminal film It Takes Two today. Unfortunately, we are not. But we will. Soon.
That's a promise.
Starring Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
We really should do a Mary-Kate and Ashley movie one day.
Freaking yeah, we should. I loved those.
Don't they have a spooky one?
They were detectives.
Double Toil and Trouble. They also have, yes, the whole detective TV series.
Mm-hmm.
I think the listeners would be interested to hear about those.
Remember how they started all of those with, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Actually, it was bedtime. That's how they all started.
That's fun.
Remember that. I remember they had to solve the crime and get home in time.
By bedtime.
Oh, I thought it was for dinner time. In dinner time? No, bedtime. Okay.
It was best of times. It was the worst
of
times.
Sorry.
Actually, it was bedtime.
Okay, fine. Emily knows her shit.
Out of my fucking shit, Henley. But we are, so the theme is the second of something.
That's correct.
I believe.
That is right. Tony Heads, we threw a little poll to you of sequels and remakes. And what you wanted covered, and you chose the Suspiria remake, which came out in 2018.
Oh, it was. I am so glad.
Me too. I'm fucking ready to hear about this one. Everyone, people have told us it's crazy and like not very much like the original Suspiria.
Right.
I'm freaking excited to hear about this one.
I'm thirsting for it. I'm just imagining.
I'm parched.
I'm parched.
And the only thing that would quench my thirst is hearing about the Suspiria remake.
I imagine Chris Martin watching this film and just falling in love with Dakota
Johnson.
This
is what did it. Little known fact. This is what sealed the deal between Chris Martin, lead singer of the band Coldplay, and Dakota Johnson, the star of this film.
Mm-hmm. And of the 50 Shades of Grey series, famously.
Mm-hmm. Famously, this is the first time we've ever seen her forehead fully exposed.
It really threw Henley.
We do need to talk about this. I guess we should talk about it right now, which is just, I was convinced. I have to tell you guys, I was convinced she was wearing a forehead prosthetic for this film.
Dakota, I'm so sorry. I mean, she's fine. She's dating Chris Martin, lead singer of the band Coldplay.
No, I think Dakota Johnson is beautiful. She's one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen in my life.
She is the most beautiful large foreheaded woman. God. We know.
I think that's why I was so shocked to see her natural hairline. Do you think that's her natural hairline?
I think it is, Henley.
Well, it's a wig, but I mean, I don't think it's a prosthetic forehead, no.
Can we talk about it for a second? Because the bangs are the bangs.
You know, some people have bangs are tricky. And a thing that I came to realize, I had bangs once recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't love them. And a thing I came to realize about why I could never get them to work is I think I have a very, and see now I don't want to bring it up because now you're going to see it. I think I have too short of a forehead. And I could never get the bang look I wanted because I just don't think I have enough real estate for the bangs to happen. And some people have more. Some people have a face for bangs, and I think that comes down to foreheads.
Yeah.
And I, couldn't. Dakota Johnson looks, she's beautiful. She also looks great with bangs. And it's sort of the forehead. It's a combo of the forehead and the hairline. It's like the way the hair can fall and have it still hit in a good place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe, honestly, she's forehead blessed, if you ask me.
It's true. I mean, she looks great, great with bangs. No one pulls off bangs like Dakota Johnson.
Transformative.
And it is just kind of jarring to see her without them, just because they're such a part of her look. That's why, do you remember when people freaked out when the gap in her teeth closed? It was like a big point of fans freaked out because she had to have some, I can't remember now. I think she had some sort of oral surgery, and some side effect of it was that her gap in her teeth was slowly closed, and fans panicked and were where did her gap go? Where did her gap go? And she was also very sad about it, and she had to address it on a talk show where she was like,
"Had to.
I'm sad about it too, you guys. I didn't do it on purpose."
God, human beings are so fucking weird.
So weird.
Imagine being a real person. She's a real person. She's a regular person like any of us. And she has to talk to strangers about the gap in her teeth. She has to be like, guys, calm down. I get it. Like, we're deranged. That's insane.
Celebrity.
But also,
culture is really crazy. But I can't stop.
I'm obsessed with it.
We're conditioned. Okay, but we're here to talk about Suspiria.
We are here to talk about that. And I am so freaking excited. Oh my God. This is one that people talk about. There is a buzz surrounding this movie, and I don't know why. And I can't wait to get the answer.
Same.
Yep. Let me tell you, it was directed by Luca Guadagnino.
Oh, Call Me By Your Name.
That's right. And it's pretty different from that movie.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
It's written by David Kajanik, based on the original that was written by Dario Argento and Daria Nicolodi, starring Dakota Johnson, Tilda Swinton, Mia Goth, Chloe Grace Moretz, Angela Winkler, and Alec Weck. And it is streaming on Amazon Prime. It has a 65% on Rotten Tomatoes, 64% on Metacritic, 6.8 on IMDb. Pretty even. Whoa,
right,
scores.
Right in there.
Yeah, mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm, like across the
board. Everyone agrees.
The budget was $20 million, box office $7 million. This was a failure, financial failure.
This Yikes. Was a failure. This was a failure.
Let me give you guys some trivia.
Okay.
Dakota Johnson did 2 years of ballet training in preparation for the role of this film. Isn't that a lot?
I mean, in terms of ballet training, that's not very much. But in terms of preparing yes. for a role.
Actor training.
I just feel like she knew 2 years before this movie was happening that she had the lead. That's like, that feels kind of crazy.
Yes, I know that Luca Guadagnino like got rights for it like 6 years before making it. And at one point, a different director, David Gordon Green, was going to direct it.
Huh.
And it went through different actresses. But yeah, I guess she must have found out earlier. But yeah, usually you hear of someone doing 6 months of prep. That's like typically what I feel like yeah. I hear an actor doing, working out for 6 months or whatever.
But I mean, ballet, that's fucking no joke.
Ballet's no joke.
And to learn it as an adult would be, I mean, maybe she had taken, I don't know. But yeah, it's a lot to like get into your body.
And I couldn't really figure out what Dario Argento's reaction to this film was. It sounds kind of lukewarm, but Luca Guadagnino says like, oh, he loved it. But every quote with Dario Argento, he said, like, one of the quotes is, it's a refined film, like Luca Guadagnino, who is a fine person. Guadagnino makes beautiful tables, beautiful curtains, beautiful dishes, all beautiful. Like, that's what he had to say about the movie.
This feels yeah, like a backhanded
right
insult,
it's
basically.
Like a way to be try to not outright uh-huh. say like I don't like this movie.
Also, it's very funny to be like, no, he loved it. Don't ask. No, you don't have to ask him. I'm telling you, he loved it. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, why ask him? Stop. Hey, he loved it.
It reminds me of in our 13 Ghosts episode, Emily, when you were like, the Roger Ebert review was like, it looks good. And you're like, it's exactly yeah. like what you would say if you hated everything about your friend's yeah. play. And you're like,
oh, the production design.
The design.
Production design is so good. Oh, you make such beautiful things.
Beautiful tables. Oh, beautiful curtains.
What I was struck by was the beauty. I loved the beauty of it. Just gave a feeling that I liked, you know? It just felt good.
The score is composed by Tom York. And,
ooh, that's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And he followed Radiohead co-composers Johnny Greenwood and Phil Selway into film scoring. And I just wanted to say Johnny Greenwood has really been killing it lately. He is just done so many scores. He did Power of the Dog, which is the only one I can think of off the top of my head, but it was great. When I'm editing, I always use film score as temp music, and I use a lot of Johnny Greenwood. He's great. But if we're going to say a band member who turned into a film composer that's the best, it's obviously Trent Reznor who did
it. It absolutely is Trent Reznor. What did I just watch that he scored?
Gone Girl.
Oh, Gone Girl! So good. I saw with you.
So good.
It feels like this movie really should have done better than it did. It's pretty sad that it was kind of a bust in the box office.
It's sad, yeah.
It's pretty sad. That sounded like you were like,
it did sound like you got like genuinely really sad.
Oh, I interpreted it as being a mean girl. Like, this movie really should have done better. It's pretty sad.
No,
honestly, that it didn't.
I think that it's, I mean, everyone knows this. This is a cliche at this point, but it is so depressing to think about all the people who work so hard on something for so many years and
mm-hmm.
it doesn't work out. And it's like just a flash in the pan. No one remembers it and it was bad.
Yeah.
I like, I'm genuinely sad about it.
Oh, Henley. I don't think you need to spend your emotional energy there. I think it's not right.
Well,
the good news
is that it's a really, I think it's a pretty good movie, and I feel like they should be proud. Unfortunate that more people didn't see it, but they did good work on it. It looks great.
They're probably proud.
And, you know, sometimes you don't get the critical acclaim. You don't get that box office success, but that doesn't mean you didn't create a great work of art.
Thank you so much. I just needed to hear that.
Okay, so should we watch this trailer? I'm really excited yes. for you guys to get a little peek at it.
Ooh-wee.
I'm scared.
When you dance the dance of another, you make yourself in the image of its creator.
1, 2, 3.
I feel like I'm not even here yet.
You have to decide, what is it you want to be for this company?
Darkness. Tears. And sighs.
You're making some kind of deal with them. I don't know what you're talking about.
There's more in that building than what you can see.
All a mess. The one out there. The one in here. The one that's coming.
Okay, I want to say that her forehead doesn't seem as intense in motion. I think it's just the stills. It's just the stills I've seen that were shocking to me. But
sure,
when she's like talking, it's fine.
And I think it's the combo of that and like the wig. It sometimes a wig on a head just,
and the center part.
It's like a little uncanny valley. You're like, wait, what's?
It's the center part too.
What is it?
Center part combo.
I like her with red hair though.
Yeah.
I think that's fun.
She looks great. She's great in this.
I wanted to see more dancing.
Yeah.
In that trailer.
There's a lot of dancing in the movie, but unfortunately, the best dancing scene is really intercut with one of the hardest to watch things. Otherwise, I'd say just fast forward to this part, but it's the best and the worst part.
Well, too bad for me.
Too bad.
I don't like the look of that hook. Whatever that hook situation is.
I don't like the look of that hook.
That's a nasty hook. That's a nasty hook for sure.
It's big.
Don't like it.
And yeah, if you'll remember in the original Suspiria, it's like real bright colors, like very neon. And Luca Guadagnino said that this movie is not necessarily a remake, but more of an interpretation. Because they've changed quite a lot in it. And it's like, this one's real muted. It's an hour longer than the original.
Holy shit.
That's an interesting choice.
Yeah. I mean, we don't love a 2.5 hour movie, but.
It's 2.5 hours?
Yeah.
It's 2.5 hours?
It sure is.
Okay.
There was a part where I was like, this is so crazy. And I paused it and there was, 50 minutes left. And I was like, this isn't the end.
It wasn't. Okay. Okay.
We should fucking get into it.
I had totally forgotten everything about the original Suspiria except for that it had to do with dance. And then they in the trailer they pulled out that like diagram thing. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh right, it's like witches.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, let's freaking dive in.
Yeah, so I was watching it, I was like, how the fuck am I going to recap this movie? I was getting real nervous. There's a lot to unpack. It's nuts. Ah. We're gonna see what happens. We're gonna get
it. Anyone can do it, Sammy. It's you, baby. It's you.
Ooh. Okay, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
To hear the rest of this episode, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/TSDW podcast and get access to all of our bonus episodes. We have video bonus episodes. We also do weekly video trailer reactions. All sorts of good stuff. We have a Discord. It's great. It's a great place to be. But if that's not your thing, we understand, and we will be back next week with a regular episode. We love you a lot. Bye.